This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Sailor Moon S takes a turn towards plot? What? Hey everybody, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog, try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we continue coverage of Sailor Moon S, covering episodes 112 to 120 of the series overall.
Hey Doak.
What?
Shit's happening. We got a character, we've got interesting things happening in this block.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that interesting things have started to happen only, 21 episodes in?
It's almost like they could have cut the first two blocks.
Yeah, or at least one of them. So I guess one of the things that we immediately have to assume here is that we have a new sub-villain. Of course, because Udeal is dead again, drowned in a sinking car.
Yeah.
If we remember. So now we
brakes
have...
Brakes were corroded with a snail spit. Yeah,
yep,
you know,
that's
the usual.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works. So we have Mehmet, who is crazy about hunks. And basically...
Mehmet's the best.
Yeah, and basically she just chooses who the next person she's going to attempt to extract a pure heart crystal from based on whatever hunk she's busy being like, ooh, this guy, you know, was super hot or whatever.
She just obsesses over, like, popular dudes, and then it's just like, I picked a candidate. He's perfect.
Yeah, right. So,
it's just a random handsome dude.
Yeah, her heart snatchers are made the same way that Udeal's heart snatchers were, but this time they steal pure heart crystals by sucking them out of the mouths of these hunks, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, they attempt to do a kiss, usually, and then...
Yeah, right.
Having failed, we'll just, like... suck and the heart crystal will fly out of their mouth and they'll just chew on it.
Yeah, and then they'll just like chomp it.
Yeah.
Now I gotta point out that I feel like they took a step back here, considering that Udeal's method was pretty foolproof and like worked every time.
Yeah, the gun was a great idea.
Yeah, like why don't they just do that? But you know, whatever. It's too late. We're instead sucking pure heart crystals out of people's throats. So while all of this nonsense is happening with Mehmet, Tomo is trying to appease the Sovereign of Silence, and it is some kind of big evil force that is kind of possessing his daughter. It's sort of a split personality thing, actually. Like, the Sovereign only seems to really take over at certain times. And usually Tomo will talk to her while she's sitting on a big, like, throne surrounded by a bunch of stuffed animals.
And hooked up to, like, a weird speaker system, too.
Yeah, right, right. But anyway, in unrelated news, Rini makes a new friend when her hat blows away at a fair.
Yeah, totally unrelated.
Yes, her new friend is a little girl named Hotaru, who is kind of sickly and is about 12. And rarely leaves her house. So after Rini and Hotaru meet, Serena takes Hotaru home, and they meet her dad, who's like a guy who wears glasses and is a doctor, and, you know, it's Dr. Tomo. Like,
yeah, but we actually see his face, and it's just... And he's got the most absurd eye patch under his glasses, which I've never really considered. Like... Well, I guess if I had an eye patch, but also had needed corrective lenses, I mean, it's not that.
It seems like it's just one of his lenses is painted over, because it's not like there's a strap holding it in place or anything.
Yeah.
It's just one lens is this weird symbol.
Like a rose. Okay, it's like blocking your eye.
Yeah, I imagine he bumps into a lot of stuff due to his lack of depth perception.
Yeah.
That would have been a good joke if they'd done that.
They really should have.
Yeah, that would have been kind of funny. But anyway, fortunately, the show doesn't actually even attempt to, like, keep us in suspense over whether or not Tomo is himself. He pretty much, at the end of this episode, goes down the hallway, puts on a lab coat, and then he's, you know...
The shadow consumes his face.
Shadowed Tomo cackling again. So there's no mystery here, fortunately, except, of course, for the characters.
Had they their druthers, I'm sure the show creators would have stretched it for another entire 10 episodes, this reveal that Dr. Tomo is actually, you know, Papa Tomo.
Yeah, right. Also,
thank God they didn't.
Also, because, you know, that is true. They don't stretch that. But apparently Kayla Knight's still alive. Because she shows up as, like, basically Hutaru's, like, weird stepmom.
Yeah.
And
super shitty stepmom.
And Kayla Knight shows up, Serena sees her, and is like, wow, that looks exactly like Kayla Knight. Must be a coincidence that this person looks exactly like her, sounds exactly like her, uses the same name, wears the same clothes, and is clearly the same person.
Like, yeah, seems kind of evil. Just strange. Yeah,
that's how weird.
Whole new levels of like identity stupidity in this show. It's like, how are you not putting that together?
I also want to know how Kayla Knight survived, considering that she was turned into glass and then shattered apart.
I don't think she was shattered. I think she was just frozen.
She was
into
just
ice.
Turned into glass.
Yeah, and they just left.
All right. Yeah, I guess I believe that. So, Hotaru is, you know, hanging out with Rini. Eventually, she is put into the path of a fleeing daimon accidentally, and she displays some weird power where her eyes turn red and then she, like, hurts the daimon. I don't think she actually destroys it, but seriously injures it.
She kind of, like, blasts her back with some kind of psychic energy, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, right. Also, of course, Uranus is the only one to see this. So we basically have another kind of Uranus wants to kill this girl because she thinks that she's the big bad, which she is.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, no, don't, because we can save her, essentially. Also, Uranus more or less puts two and two together and decides that, oh, Hotaru is probably this girl that Rei has been having prophetic visions of, if you remember those from the beginning of the series.
I was shocked that a character actually, like, came to a conclusion on their own, like, logically.
Yeah, to be fair, though,
to explicitly see that Hotaru is, in fact, the daughter of Dr. Tomo, and Dr. Tomo is, in fact, the evil Dr. Tomo.
Yeah, right. Now, to be fair, I would say that at least in the like, prophetic visions, they do a pretty good job of not making it, like, it's not super clear that it's just Hotaru, except for, like, the silhouette. You don't see a lot of the Sovereign of Silence in that.
Yeah, definitely not.
So, we begin the final act, essentially, with Hotaru beginning a transformation as all of the planets align, basically. Amara / Uranus tries to kill her, but she is stopped by Rini and Serena, and Hotaru kind of, like, teleports away, basically. Now, after this, we have a little bit of backstory. Darien is sleuthing it up on the internet, like a regular Melvin.
Yeah.
And he finds some news story about, like, a biotechnology place that burned down, and the only survivors were this Dr. Tomo and his daughter, which is Hotaru. Now, we get a flashback of that scene from Tomo's perspective, where basically there's an explosion in the lab, Hotaru is apparently killed, and then this orb of darkness kind of floats over and talks in a hilarious voice about how, you know, oh, make a wish, basically. It's basically Cube, but it looks evil. And so Tomo...
Do you know what its name is?
No.
Its name is Pharaoh 90.
Wait, Pharaoh 90?
Yeah, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the name of, like, it's just, like, this big bad. I don't even know if they even say it in the rest of the show.
They probably don't. I see, I've heard that name before. I think that character comes into play in, like, the final Sailor Moon arc,
well,
which wasn't released here.
Yeah, and that the it's like the final villain is revealed to be the source of all the major villains of the other arcs.
Right,
I believe.
Right.
And Pharaoh 90 is the source of all the problems in this arc.
Yeah. So anyway, Pharaoh 90 speaks with a hilariously wrong voice for the evil big bad, and Tomo wishes for Hotaru to still be alive. Pharaoh 90 takes him over in order to, you know, go about his evil deeds, and so on. Also, Mehmet is replaced by another member of the Bureau of Bad Behavior named Tolulu, and Mehmet suffers a fate about as awful as Udeal, where she uses one of Udeal's inventions to put herself inside a bunch of TVs, and then Tolulu unplugs them, and the last we see of Mehmet is her falling through a dark void screaming in horror.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a fate worse than death, honestly.
Like, never before like have the sub-villains been, you know, erased with such malice.
Yeah.
It's so fucking scary when you actually think about it.
I mean, that was like the probably one of the nicer of the villains. And I mean, besides the fact that she killed Udeal, but like, she's definitely the most relatable sub villain.
Like, I guess, I mean, in that she has a character trait.
Yeah. When she practically befriends Venus.
Yeah. And, yeah. There is one point
wants
where
other things besides evil. She wants hunks. To the point where it like kind of becomes a deciding factor for her a little bit, but then she chooses evil.
Yeah, and then she's, you know, sucked into the void for all eternity.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's fun. Peter, what was your favorite episode of this block?
What was my favorite episode? My favorite episode was episode 118. It's in the cards. That's the English title. The Japanese title is Battle in the Demonic Dimension.
Yeah, which sounds awesome.
It sounds cool. Is a little misleading.
Just a bit.
This episode, this is really interesting. It's got like a kind of a fun opening where Mehmet is like, it's like, nothing's working with these monsters because, like, you know, it's you put shit in the microwave and it makes a daimon. So she just throws tons of shit in the microwave at once.
After tricking Tomo into going out to buy snacks for everybody because it's his turn, supposedly.
I love that these villains have snack duty. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. And that Tomo is one of the people who has to buy them. The leader is like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll go get them.
All right. So she sets that shit up. It backfires and creates this, like, other dimension that kind of fucks up the interior of the mansion, of, like, Tomo's mansion.
Yeah, right.
Where Rini and Hotaru happen to be playing. And Rini and Hotaru get caught in this other dimension that's like constantly shifting, and it's kind of like pretty, it's a bit dreamlike.
Yeah, kind
of. If a little mundane, unfortunately.
It's like shifting through different environments, basically.
Yeah, it's like different, like fairly standard environments. It's like it starts pretty interesting with like open a window and they're suddenly they're in the savannah.
Yeah, right.
And then,
I mean,
they pull open a drawer and it's just filled with water with fishes and shit in
there. Yeah, I mean,
like,
basically, if it's a biome available in Minecraft, then it's in this set of stuff.
Yeah, except the one where everything's made of fungus.
Yeah, that's true.
they just keep wandering. They go to this cliff and stuff and almost fall and die and shit. That I was a little disappointed, admittedly, with that. Like, I thought they could do more with the different dimensions, and I thought they could be a bit more abstract or, you know, strange with like their choices. A bit more creative, really. But what ends up happening is the Sailor Scouts show up. They teleport into the dimension and try and find and save them. They all end up meeting up and fighting this daimon who's like game themed, because Matt just like threw in like cards and then like a ton of other games. This is where the episode really shines, where, like, this game-themed daimon just starts challenging all of them to different games each, and cheating and beating them in, like, really stupid ways.
Yeah. Any game, by the way, because Jupiter does choose roulette for some reason.
Yeah.
And, and then, like, Sailor Moon and Venus use, like, a car arcade game that we've seen them playing before.
Yeah, yeah. And all of them are like, she fucks it up somehow, where it's like, oh, your accelerator puts you in reverse in the car game, and they all just, like, zoom backwards and she laps them. Or, you know, like, it happens to land in the correct roulette number, but then the roulette number just flips to something else.
Yeah, right.
Amy, of course, plays chess and loses somehow.
I think, if I remember correctly, the chessboard just kind of explodes.
It's like, of course, Rini puts her in checkmate, and then it's like, whoops.
Yeah, Amy puts her in checkmate. But
yeah, right, right.
Because Rini has to play a much dumber game, which is a game of cards that makes no sense, where it's like, one of two cards. You choose the right one, you lose. You choose the wrong one, you win.
This game they're playing in the beginning. And they just end up doing that, and she, like, underestimates them. The Daimon underestimates them because of, these are little kids. I don't even need to cheat against them. I'll just kick their ass.
Yeah, I'll just manipulate winning, them.
But she just, like, shits out on the deal, and they fight and all that. Eventually, they break out. But what I liked about this episode is there's a lot of, like, it had the entire cast, and it had, like, a bit more character moments, like, together. Particularly in the scene where they're all playing games and, like, playing games kind of unique to their character. They also had, like, a decent amount of good gags. I like Mehmet just throwing everything in the oven and fucking it up. And, of course, Tomoe going out and, like, getting snacks. And then he comes back and he can't get back into his house, so he just sits and eats snacks the entire time.
Yeah, just it keeps cutting to a shot of him sitting on his, like, doorstep just munching chips while Luna and Artemis just kind of hang out.
Yeah, and they're just like, what? Okay. So, what was your favorite episode?
Mine would be episode 119, Goodness Eclipsed. So this is the penultimate episode of this block, and it basically starts with Mars having a prophetic dream again, and then she sees this girl who she realizes, like, maybe that's Hotaru, and this some kind of transition has to take place, involving Saturn eclipsing the other planets, which I don't... like.
Doesn't seem like that should be possible whatsoever.
Well, like, it doesn't... I don't know. Like, I don't think that that's technically an eclipse, but whatever. So when that happens, the Sovereign of Silence will come out, and this event is being hosted at the, like, planetarium by a man named Tom Harris, who is a DJ. And guess what? Mehmet wants to take his Pure Heart Crystal that he probably has, because I guess he's a really good DJ. So everyone ends up...
He is hunkalicious, in fact.
Right. So everyone ends up at this planetarium. Hotaru begins her transformation, and then, you know, Uranus attacks her, Serena stops her, and Hotaru teleports away. And basically the reason I like this episode is because it's just like a climactic plot episode. Whereas a lot of the show so far hasn't been, really.
Yeah.
And I like Uranus wanting to, like, kill somebody who the viewer might actually have any opinion on whatsoever. Like,
right.
That's kind of nice.
Instead of it just being, like, the just random some guy. Dipshit of the week who, you know, they don't have the Pure Heart Crystal. Okay.
Yeah, right. Instead, it's like this girl who has been a part of the show for a little while now and also has relationships with the main characters and, like, you know, it's against her will, et cetera, et cetera. I'll talk more about this kind of stuff in our, I guess, thoughts segment. But basically, yeah, I liked this because it felt like it was upping the ante for this show quite a bit. And that's something I've been waiting for a long time.
Especially, and it, Sailor Moon S for sure. Like, plot wise overall, it just seems to have been a complete crawl until something interesting.
Yeah, until happened. Like now, basically.
Yeah, now 20 episodes. You know, it's ridiculous.
Right. So, what was your least favorite episode?
It was a bit difficult to choose. They're all kind of, like, around the same fairly enjoyable quality, this block, I would say. But one episode in particular had a thing. Episode 116, Thorny Weather.
Yeah.
Really dumb, weird
That's
title
definitely
for that.
A thing that people have said in the past.
Oh, the weather's so thorny today.
So thorny. It's like, I don't know, a hurricane with roses. Like,
it's not a pun.
No, it's
you
not.
Know? It's like,
not that I can tell.
It's put out like it's supposed to be a pun, but it's not. This is an episode in which, you know, Hotaru and Rini and Serena go out to the botanical gardens and they meet this gardener there who kind of looks like Tenchi, but a dad. Eventually, a storm begins and Mehmet attacks with her Daimon, and Hotaru actually comes in and helps and saves the day again. It's generally a fine episode. There's actually some really funny gags in here. Darien has a couple good moments.
Yeah, there's a point where Mehmet's hitting on him.
Yeah, Mehmet hits on him, and he's like, can't really get out of it until eventually he's just like, this is my future wife and daughter. See you later. And he just walks away with Rini and Serena. The only time I've ever seen him like acknowledge them as his future wife and daughter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a point where Tuxedo Mask complains because the villain is stealing his rose gimmick, which is kind of funny.
the villain, by the way, that's what I have a problem with. The villain in this episode is, you know, just kind of your average dumb-looking plant daimon woman. But, God, her voice. They really, like, she has this screeching, horrifying voice that is, like, oh, it's just, like, agonizing to even consider and think about.
I feel like they really got off on the screeching, agonizing to listen to voices in S, because I don't remember there being that many villains that had just headache inducing voices before this show, really.
And the villain is fairly competent in that she manages to take out everybody, and even after like Darien helps and Serena uses her move and stuff. And then, you know, Hotaru comes in and is like, uses her evil powers to kill this villain and like, or, you know, paralyze the villain so that Serena
so that
can do
Sailor
the final
Moon
blow.
Can kill it with Super Sailor Moon, which
I always
is
wish. I always wanted Hotaru to do the finishing blow because it'd be like cooler. Like, what if she killed the villain and it was like the villain just like burnt to death or like some crazy death?
I guess
just as a way to like show that like she's got powers and she's helping on the good side, but like there's something wrong with these powers.
Yeah, or you know? Like that the powers are powerful. Like, that's kind of the whole point. Like, yeah, no, I get that.
She ends up saving the day, and we get the worst, most terrible death screech from this villain, who's just like,
we don't need to,
you know, we don't need to like, do much impersonation.
Imagine nails on a chalkboard, and you have a good idea of what it sounds like.
Yeah, pitch that up, like, three times, and you're set. That's what you got. It is fucking horrible.
Yeah, and that's why I don't like it. Mentioned also something that I kind of glossed over is that now that Sailor Moon has the Purity Chalice, she can do another super move, which is another transformation sequence that has to happen mid-episode. And also, her new super move is pretty much identical to her old super move, except that before the giant heart crashes into the villain, there's a rainbow for a second.
Yeah, that's it. Just a rainbow just flies by, and then it's like, wow, really upgraded this move.
Yeah, and Sailor Moon is a cool new costume with more ribbons, basically.
Yeah, and a little bit more colors. It's stupid. They even still do like the rod thing they do in the beginning of the other one where it's like
the CD load-in screen
except it's a little more detailed.
Yeah, it has some different backgrounds.
What was your least favorite note?
Mine would be episode 120, Next in Line. So this is the final episode of this block, and you might notice it followed my favorite episode. There's a reason for that, which is that this episode doesn't really capitalize on any of the stuff that was set up in the previous episode.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a little bit of that because Rini goes to Hotaru's house and it like everything's gone, which is kind of neat. But basically, this is an episode of like, all right, well, I guess we got to explain Tomo and all this shit now. So we have a bunch of internet research, which is always super gripping to watch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have the, like, sort of perfunctory replacing of Mehmet. And that in particular, like, I get that that's how this show works, but at the same time, it just feels unnecessary. Like, all right, yeah, do we really need another sub-villain who doesn't, you know, who isn't going to have much impact on the plot from here on, I assume, yeah. Because, like, we're ramping up to the final confrontation.
Yeah, there are 6 more episodes, and there are 3 more witches.
Yeah.
To go through, so none of them are going to last as long as anyone else.
Yeah, right. And it just seems like, why are we even bothering with this at this point? Also, again, the voice of Pharaoh 90, that's the greatest name, is just hilariously incorrect. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's like if you got, like, what's that fucking guy's name? Ben Stein? Is that the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dry eyes, like, dude.
Yeah, yeah. If you got him to do the voice, but it wasn't done ironically.
It's like, it's like if you got Ben Stein to voice Talpa from Ronin Warriors, or like the master, was it the cat villain from fuck,
Dark Cat from SWAT Dark Cats, you
yeah
mean?
Why not?
Yeah, sure.
Or like, yeah. Skeletor or something.
Yeah, like, well, Skeletor is a really goofy voice, which is part of the reason he's great, but like, it's not a bored sounding voice.
Yeah.
The main villain having a bored sounding voice is really bizarre, but it's also really funny. I don't know, there's just something about it that tickles me. But in general, this episode is just kind of like, all right, yeah, I kind of wish that we could get back to the stuff that was happening last episode, but yeah, we can't, I guess.
Plus, this is, of course, the episode in which Mehmet is plunged into eternal chaos.
Yes, yes.
The worst death for what I found to be a quite fun character.
Yes, this is the episode where Mehmet is cast out into the void. It's poor Mehmet.
Yeah.
Not a great way to go. So we're going to go to our break. When we get back, we'll talk about our thoughts on the show overall. And talk about the bet.
Wow, it's so pretty cool, and it feels a bit mysterious too.
Thank you.
Sailor Moon S will return in a moment. Hey there, everyone. This is Michael, doing what I always do, telling you stuff you might know already. But if not, listen along, I guess. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving, and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, both by Anatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release May 8th, and next week, catch a mini-sode where we discuss Corrector Yui. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter @HBpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
I hope you're not choosing your victims for their looks, because I'm a firm believer in the scientific method of mayhem.
I know, me too.
And now, back to Sailor Moon S. We're back, and let's talk about the block overall. Peter, what did you think about this block?
Overall, I think this is the one I've enjoyed the most. Adding in Hotaru was a great choice, like, just a character for, like, everyone. A character who's consistently there that, like, starts forming relationships with all the Sailor Scouts, who becomes integral to the plot, as opposed to, like you said, like, oh, we have to worry about these, like, random people that you steal Pure Heart mm-hmm. Crystal from.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's like, oh, this one character that's kind of constantly there, and, like, there's some building mystery around her that isn't based on her identity, thank God.
Yeah, that's true also. Yeah, there's
it's
some
not based
nice,
on,
like,
seeing her in a different costume and not recognizing who she is.
Right, right.
Which is, like, at this point, completely my last nerve about this show.
Clearly.
God.
Yeah, if that happens again, I'm going to have to start doing this podcast solo because you're going to be fucking...
Yeah, I'm just going to explode.
Yeah, you're just going to throw your laptop across the room in a fit of rage as they can't recognize who Pluto is.
Yeah, somehow.
Right.
The Minette is probably my favorite Deathbuster, and I think for good reason. She is like the most relatable on some level and the most like just casual and like kind of like a normal girl in a way. I mean, she's a bit more boy crazy than a realistic person.
Sure,
but
yeah.
She's like definitely most like the main cast, like most like the Sailor Scouts.
Yeah,
the point where
yeah.
There's an episode where she and Venus are bond over being fans. Like she's in her civilian outfit. They bond over being fans of this like hotshot.
Yeah, he's like a singer and he's trying to find a female lead for his new movie that's coming out. And so they had just have open auditions for everyone in, I guess, Tokyo.
Yeah, and they both compete to get into the movie. And in this ridiculous fashion in which they have like a star-o-meter that they stand on.
Yeah, right.
After like doing general like talent or after doing general like beauty competition kind of
shit. Yeah, kind of stuff. Like, I want to save the world.
They stand on a star-o-meter and it's like, okay, it has to get over 80%. And no one gets over 80%. Mehmet actually does. And then it just drops back down.
Yeah, but it was some kind of mistake somehow. Yeah. Also, this episode is one of my favorite Amy lines, which is that contest is probably rigged. Like,
yeah. just this really
odd, yeah, this really out of left field cynicism coming from Amy.
I wish she was more cynical. It would be fantastic.
Yeah.
The, and Mehmet, you know, is like, on that level, I love that she's like boy crazy. I think it's hilarious. She does a bunch of like, she's actually involved in the fights too. She doesn't just bail like Eugeo would, and you know, we'll try and always has like an awkward interaction, like a fangirl awkward interaction with every guy she encounters with the targets.
Yeah,
because it's just like, oh, will you sign this for me? No, okay. Well, I'm just gonna attack you, the monster.
yeah, I'll take your pure heart then, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I generally like this quite a bit better than the first two blocks as well. I mean, I was maybe I was harsher in the first two blocks than you were, as I often am. But this, like, I really liked. I think that just adding Hotaru into the show solves a lot of my complaints. As we've already said, the whole aspect of having Uranus, you know, want to get rid of somebody who we actually might have any kind of feeling about is a great change of pace from what it was before.
And we know she's also like, she is the villain. Like they reveal it directly. Eventually we're like to the other, or rather the Outer Senshi reveal it to the Scouts where it's like, no, she is the Sovereign of Silence. Also, one thing I really liked is that the Sovereign of Silence thing is Sailor Saturn. Like, she is a Sailor Scout.
Oh, yeah, right.
But it's...
Dear God, by the way, there are points in this
corruption
where...
Corruption thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to point out that that sentence had the words Sailor Scout, Sovereign of Silence, and Sailor Saturn all together.
Right.
This show becomes so filled with sibilant sounds, it is absurd.
Just terrible tongue twisters by accident. Like, Hotaru's gonna become the Sailor Scout of the Sovereign of Silence, Sailor Saturn.
Yeah, it's right.
Like, shut up.
It's hilarious how much alliteration there can be sometimes. Seemingly not on purpose either. Like, it just happens to go that way.
Yeah. But I really like the idea that, like, one of the Sailor Scouts is, like, something you don't want to run into. It's like, oh, we don't want this one becoming reborn. It's the Sailor Scout of Destruction.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's kind
of
badass.
Yeah, there's something cool about that. I also think that, like, honestly, not being really a main character is really good with Hotaru as well. Because there were a couple of times when, say, like, Jupiter would have her pure heart crystal stolen. And obviously Jupiter's not going to get killed. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But there is maybe some tension with Hotaru. Like, maybe she will just be killed. I mean, obviously she won't, because this is not that kind of show, but still, like, just the aspect of her not being a primary character adds a decent amount of tension, like, on a meta level.
It's got that kind of meta level suspense that isn't just a... If it were any other character, like you're saying, it's like, yeah, of course they're not going to kill off Jupiter.
Yeah, right,
of course,
right.
Sailor Moon's never going to die.
Right.
But, Hotaru, I mean, she could just be in this season.
Right, exactly. And also, like, her being occasionally possessed by this power is handled pretty well. There's one point that it's brought up that she's had a bunch of trouble in school, and she's very lonely, partly because this power, you know, can just overtake her against her will. So, like, she's hurt people before and doesn't remember it. And, like, that's handled pretty well. And also, when she's talking to Tomo and she is the Sovereign of Silence sitting in the throne surrounded by stuffed animals, it's pretty creepy. Just the lighting is very good, lighting, quote unquote. And the way that the voice of the Sovereign seems to come through speakers, not actually Hotaru, who's just kind of sitting there motionless, is like there's some kind of mini horror aspects to this block that we haven't really seen before, and I think work pretty well, actually. Like, they did a good job.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic with the villain.
I will say, though, that it kind of annoys me that they are still looking for pure heart crystals, because basically the excuse...
But we solved that.
but the excuse is like, oh, the Sovereign of Silence needs pure heart crystals to get stronger, but they also fail all the time. And, like, the thing that's kind of cool about the Sovereign of Silence is that it is a character that seems straight up unbeatable by the main characters. So... having her just be weaker than she necessarily could be because they couldn't get pure heart crystals. I don't know. There's some kind of disconnect there. I mean, really, it's just, I think that we've moved on to more interest in stuff, but we kind of still have to do that stuff because, you know, it's an anime that lasts a long time. Like, We can't just give up on one of the building blocks of an episode.
Yeah, we have to stretch this shit out.
And I mean, really, you know, it is that. It's we can't just give up on the building blocks of how this show works because they've introduced a new thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It makes me kind of want to read the manga because the manga I know is like very different throughout. I mean, like, there's still, like, similar themes where it's like, oh, you know, Serena's still a bit of a goof and all that. There's still, like, similar relationships. But it completely doesn't have this filler problem that seemingly has plagued the show from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you could also probably watch whatever the, like, new Viz Media Sailor Moon...
Sailor Moon Crystal, you mean?
Yeah, right, which is more of a straightforward adaptation from what I understand.
They did a little bit of, like... weird kind of CG stuff with the first two seasons that a lot of people didn't care for.
I mean, of course they did.
Yeah, like, right. That's becoming an annoying
new trend. It's modern anime. Like, that's just how it is, unfortunately.
But the third season, which is Sailor Moon S, they didn't. They reverted back to a more traditional style.
Well, that's pretty cool. We should check that out at some point.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. So, yeah, I think that this is better than the previous blocks, like, quite a bit. I wish that the show had gotten to this much sooner than it did, because I'm actually kind of interested again.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was just kind of plodding through. We got to talk about the bet. Now, would you believe it? Because there's no more time for nonsense, because we have big stuff happening now. There were zero glamour shots of Amara and Michelle, of course, because if there's one thing that making this podcast has taught me, it's that if something happens all the fucking time in one, like, arc of a show, it will be completely discarded with the next arc.
Yeah. It's just like, no, fuck you guys. We're not playing with your butt.
It's so weird how often this seems to happen, too. It's like, I'm just thinking of the Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, when they just would not stop saying slamming for the first 13 episodes, and then they just never did again.
Slamming, and I mean slamming.
Oh, what a...
Let's climb this cliff, Johnny. Slamming!
Man, the 90s slang has been, like, one of the best aspects of doing this podcast.
Yeah, just running into, and you know what? It's in here, too. There's a decent amount of funny stuff here.
I mean, like, and, like, fake 90s slang or attempts at 90s slang to, like, oh, we're gonna get slamming off the ground. No, no, you're not.
We'll see, we'll see. Maybe
Hunk-a-licious.
Slamming. Yeah, right, like, all the hunk words in Sailor Moon are truly Geekazoid. Fantastic. Yeah, and just so many, like, just weird... It's basically so many weird compound words of, like, hunk and geek.
Yeah. Zoid. Yeah, Geekazoid. Zoid. Hunkazoid. Hunk-licious. Hunk City.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, so no one won. So for this bet, we're going to do how many times... We're going to do a double or nothing, because... I'm currently winning. We have one block left.
Mm-hmm. And it could either be a tie or we can do a double or nothing, basically.
Yeah.
So and whoever wins this bet gets to choose the next show that we watch. So Hotaru, being a sort of sickly character, has a tendency to collapse.
All the time.
Yes. And who knows? Maybe she won't anymore because... You know, fuck us. And also, she's the sovereign of silence now. But I'm guessing she's going to collapse at least a couple times. So,
at least in combat.
Yeah, right. So, oh, is that counted too?
I assume. Oh, you know what? I'm not exactly sure. It's tricky to make a bet for this because I have seen the last episodes of this. I don't remember them.
But... I mean, I think that basically we should do it if she is Hotaru. So, like, if she's the sovereign, then no. But if she's Hotaru, then yes. Which means that pretty much eliminates combat. Because Hotaru herself, from what I know, isn't
really
involved in combat that much.
So, who gets first pick here? I technically won the last one, so I guess it's still you.
Yeah, I'm just going to go, like, two in an episode. She does collapse a lot, but I don't think that it happens that frequently in an episode.
I'll go with three then.
All right, pretty solid.
I think she'll collapse three times.
I mean, I'd believe it. the first episode, she's gonna fall down like 50 times.
It's gonna be the Gundam Wing blowing up shots of Leo's exploding. It's fine for a while, and then there's one episode where it's just fucking 50 get blown up.
Yeah, God. Or Hotaru will get drunk, and she'll just be unable to stand properly.
Yeah. I mean, it happened with Sailor Moon. It happened with Serena. Yeah.
I mean, I gotta be honest, Sailor Moon being drunk was much less funny than I expected it to be. it was kind of there.
It's unfortunate. It's because she was drunk on juice.
Yeah, right.
It's not a thing that happens.
Right. Well, what we're going to be watching next is a show called Corrector Yui, which is a magical girl show from the late 90s, where basically this girl goes into the internet to fight viruses, and she's only a magical girl inside the internet, but in the real world, she's just normal old Yui. It is basically Magical Girl Reboot the Guardian Code, and therefore I'm very excited.
it's chock full of like idiosyncratic predictions about the internet.
Well, because the reason that we chose this one specifically actually is because it takes place in 2020, and we're like, man, oh man, this is gonna be looking hilarious. It's a lot more wind farms than I tend to see these days.
Than I imagine will be in the future. A lot more VR too.
Right. So I'm pretty excited to talk about that show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I guess, that's what we're going to be doing next week. So tune in. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby until then.
And
then I'll change form.
Stay tuned for Corrector Yui. What's your second form like?
Is
it just you
silence.
Bigger but with like horns?
Do like that. Yeah. And I've got a fucked up face.
Yeah, really long face.
Huge muscles, horns, a fucked up face. Yeah, it's a good second form.
I'm looking forward to that.
No, you aren't. It'll be a real fucked up.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of our content, the easiest way to stay up to date is to follow us over at facebook.com/HPPod and Twitter at HPPod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also, of course, a great way to get in contact with us. Subscribing on iTunes is also super appreciated, and if you want to heighten that sense of appreciation even higher, consider leaving us a review. See you all next week for Corrector Yui.
I was like trying so hard to pull a Dark Souls reference there for the void. I can't remember. The Abyss. Damn it.
Nah, that's what it's called. We're going to fight the Four Kings.
Yeah, right.
Or the Two Princes or whatever.
It was the Four Kings.
Two Princes is that 80s song.
Yeah, also a boss in Dark Souls 3.
Oh, yeah.